Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord says through his prophet, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. That sounds good, doesn't it? Especially if you like rich food and aged wine. If you like the meat close to the bone, if you like to open the bone and get the marrow out, as some do, it sounds better and better. And if not, you're like, ooh, maybe not. Vegetarians and vegans seemingly need not apply. Of course, this is imagery that the Lord uses, but yet behind the imagery, there is the absolute truth. The fellowship of the Lord's table, eating and drinking with the Lord, is something that is woven throughout Scripture. In one of our services, we regularly sing, this is the feast of the Lord, yet anytime Christians gather together for word and sacrament, it is the feast of the Lord. And just as Middle Eastern hospitality, if you eat my bread and my salt, I can do you no harm. You're under the protection of my roof. So also, when we eat the bread of the Lord, we are under his protection as we stay under his roof. And he is our friend. He is our protector. He is our Savior. So the Lord is going to raise up a feast, a good feast, a rich feast, which means that what's going on so far isn't so good. Isaiah is weaving the pattern of judgment, of condemnation, of forgiveness, of restoration throughout. Back and forth he goes, and here is one of the most beautiful restoration passages in all of Scripture. What's on the menu for the feast of the Lord? Here on earth, we know what it is. It is Jesus, the bread of life come down from heaven. And metaphorically, he speaks of himself. I am the bread of life. And so we consume him as we listen to his word, as we read his word. And even as the one colleague says, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest him. But also then, at his invitation, by his very special favor, he gives you himself to eat with your mouth and to drink his own body, his own blood. And so this is the feast of the Lord in more than one way. It belongs to the Lord, but it is also literally of the Lord. We take of him into ourselves. And that's an even richer feast than what the prophet describes with rich food, well-aged wine, food full of marrow, aged wine, well-refined. And that's all well and good, isn't it? But if we're going to come and join around the Lord's table, if we're going to eat and drink with the Lord, what's on the menu for him? He tells you. He will swallow up on this mountain. And here we are speaking of Zion, the holy hill upon which sits Jerusalem. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples. What covering is cast over all people? There's nothing certain but death and taxes, and he's not talking about taxes here. The covering that covers up all people is the pall, the grave cloth. While we're sitting there dining on this rich food, God is gobbling down your funeral pall. To put it in more present terms, he's eating your coffin. He's taking away that which covers your corpse. The veil that is spread over all nations, he will swallow up not just the covering, but he will swallow up death forever. While we're eating and drinking life, God is eating death. Your death. My death, the death of all sinners. And he is eating the sin which causes the death. Jesus took all of your sins upon himself. The grave swallowed him up. Death swallowed him up. Satan swallowed him up. And yet Christ opened up and swallowed them all. And on the third day rose again, triumphant over all of them. Where? On this mountain. On the mountain of the Lord. Or little branch that sticks out from it. Golgotha, the place of the skull. And more central in the city, in an upper room, where he spread this feast out for his disciples. Before he even had given his body and blood on the cross, he was already giving him his body and blood at the table. Joining them in fellowship with him, with his Father, with each other, and joining all of them with all of us in an eternal fellowship. Valid through time. Going back all the way to when Adam and Eve first walked with God in the garden. Reminding us of that time that Moses took the elders of Israel up on Sinai. And as Moses put so understatedly, they ate and drank and they lived. Which when you think about it is rather surprising, because how can we sinners live in the presence of a sinless, sin-hating, sin-judging, sin-destroying God? We can do it because he takes our sins away. All of our sins. Our physical sins, including those involving food, of delicacy, of gluttony, of pickiness, of refusing to eat what is given to us, whether by God himself directly, as with the manna and the quail, or whether by our parents or our spouses or the serving staff at a restaurant or wherever else. Because even if we earned our daily bread, finally it is a gift from God. And when we despise that, we despise the one who gives it. And when we eat too much of it and harm our bodies, we mock him. But all of our other sins too, the sins of our mouths, the sins of our minds, the sins of our hands and feet, he will swallow all of that up and take it all away. So that on your last day, you can guarantee that the grave will not cover you forever. Whether you're in an urn or in a box or in a tomb hewn out of a cave, you will rise up alive. Your death swallowed up in victory. Because the Lord has already feasted on your death. He has feasted on your doom. Even as your death and your doom seemingly feasted on him. He lost the battle so that he could win the war. He gave up his own life so that you could have life. He fasted in the wilderness so that you could feast forevermore, beginning in this world, at this table, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of his angels and his saints. And then so you could extend that fellowship in your life outside. As the feast goes out with you, so also the sustenance, the healing, the strength from that feast goes out with you. Inviting you then to invite others into your life, into the Lord's presence through you, that you might love them as God has loved you, that you might feed them as God has fed you, that you might be the one perhaps to lead them to the one who swallows up their death, their shame, their loss, their hurts, their tears. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. And he has a laundry list of reproach he could level at every one of us. You can only remember a fraction of the sins you've ever committed. Multiply that by the billions of people who have lived or are now living. And then add in all those sins that none of us can remember. all of that reproach is gone. And for all who believe in his Son, it will never be visited back on them. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And whether I point you to the Word and say, "This is our God. This is the Lord." Whether I point you to the altar and say, "This is our God. This is our Lord." Or to the font, "This is our God. This is our Lord." Or the words of absolution, "This is our God. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. He has saved us. Let us rejoice and be glad in him." The feast of the Lord is not ended. We are invited back time and time again until finally we're invited to dine in eternity. What God started on that mountain at that time when Jesus said to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood," he continues to give to you. And just as he swallowed up death on the cross, so he continues to take it away from you. And even if you die in this life, you have already died the death that truly counts. You have died to your sins in baptism. And you live with Christ and all of his saints. And as you trust in Christ, you know absolutely and completely that you will be raised up. You will be given a new and glorified body. And you will join the eternal feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. God grant that you be strengthened by feasting on the Lord today and all the days of your life, even into life everlasting. Amen. That peace that surpasses understanding, keep your hearts and minds steadfast unto life everlasting. Amen.